Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address. Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders. I'm your host, Kyle, and joining me today is Cleo and Andrew for that follow-up we promised to the recent Humanity of Trading episode we did a couple weeks ago. But before we dive into that, do you guys have anything you want to plug or promote? This would be the spot to get it in.
I'm just excited to dive in here, guys. Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Well, I'll promote for you then. Go Andrew Longwin- longwintertradingco.com. Visit Andrew's website. He's got a bunch of blogs posted on there, tons of free content, coaching opportunities. I don't know if you're advertising that, but
yeah.
A lot of great stuff on there.
Yeah, thank you.
Cleo, you got anything you want to shout out?
I mean, not really. I'm just on Twitter now, so that's exciting. That's basically it. That's all.
What's the follower count up to? Have you passed us yet?
They're trickling in.
End of the year.
Age of trading.
End of the year. You'll be more than all of us combined, I bet.
We'll see about that.
All right. If anybody listening has any suggestions or corrections or questions for future guests, send them to us. You do that via email at bandoftraderspodcast@gmail.com. You can join the free Discord server. You can DM us on Twitter at financialinept1. All those links in the episode descriptions. Peruse them at your own convenience. Now that we got the business end done, let's get into that conversation. So, Andrew, you kind of gave us an amazing 15-minute monologue about parts work and how important it is. I don't know if you could just sum that up again now that the mic is on.
That we wish were recorded. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so let me just re-intro and talk through that. So there's kind of a common saying in markets or in market psychology, which is, you know, you don't trade the market, you trade your beliefs about the market. And The problem with that is that it's kind of a big and esoteric statement. It's a platitude. Nobody knows how to access that idea. And I didn't either to begin with. And what I found was that by kind of entering into parts work and trying to identify different sensations or feelings or thoughts, I could then identify certain kind of characters as we did sort of last episode. And you guys did in that roundtable, you know, basically once you start to look at that, the imagination kind of runs wild. And what's great about that is then these characters, these personalities can really easily show us what we believe about the market, right? We can kind of turn around and objectively face them and say, oh, I see that, you know, let's say your data scientist guy, you know, he believes that markets are just insanely complicated and he's quite intimidated by them. And we go, well, is that true? Or, you know, what role does randomness play in the market? Or what role does randomness play in making the markets look more complicated? Mm-hmm. And so then we can kind of confront some of those beliefs and we can say, okay, what's actually true about that? And we can kind of build up a more robust and more mature belief about the market that's more accurate. And one of my kind of principles is, as a trader and as a, you know, as a coach is that the closer we can get our beliefs to reality, right, the easier things get. Mm-hmm. So we're going to come in with a ton of assumptions that about ourselves, like I'm a winner. But you have no experience, so that belief is incorrect, unfortunately, right? or I'm a loser, and you know that's all. But you've put in the work, like that's not a correct belief, also. Right. And so, what we want to do is we want to move our beliefs closer to reality. And we do that kind of through parts work or through identifying what are some of those thoughts in our heads, right? And what's going on? Am I, you know, you might wake up in the morning and feel, you know, as you do your prep, you feel a sense of kind of fear, you know, you feel a little timidity. And we go, well, why is that? What part of me is kind of talking mm-hmm. there? And well, the part of me that got wrecked yesterday, maybe.
Right.
And so then we go, well, why did that happen? Was that a technical error? Was that was there a chasing kind of error? Or was that was that something else? Mm-hmm. And it allows us to kind of shine a light on our beliefs in a way that makes it so much more practical. So then we can really pull those up, name them, give them a sense, right? Give them a character, all this stuff. And, in the roundtable that you guys did, this was so great. It was so fun to hear you guys kind of like exploring all these different personalities, you know, and Joel was just, he was a wild man. He's just running with it. You know, he had all family reunion.
Yeah. Yosemite, right? Sam, Sheldon, Brittany. Yeah.
And what that does, right, is that gives you basically something to look at. It gives you a handle for you to hold on to. What are these beliefs? What does Yosemite Sam believe about the market? Well, he believes, maybe he even believes that, you know, all this rigmarole is just frustrating and everybody's making money and he should be making money too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good bit of clarity. Is that true? You know, to what degree is it true? How do we kind of talk him down off the ledge? Do you know what I mean? And so.
Can I ask you a nerding out psychological question real quick?
Please. Yeah.
So you keep saying, is that true, right? Like we're looking at our beliefs and our assumptions. And it reminds me of Byron Katie. And I'm curious if there's any like Katie-esque influence in this line of thinking.
You know, I don't know the name of that person.
Okay.
And so I will just say, you know, so much of what I do is really kind of through my own experience. Not that it's new. I think that's a really important thing. And I want to give credit wherever I can to, you know, people that I've learned from. But ultimately, it's been me and the charts and then a long running trail to try to figure this stuff out most of the time.
Yeah, I guess you can't own the phrase, is that true?
Right.
It's just that Byron Katie definitely seems to in the world awesome. Of personal development.
That's a development. Question we don't ask a lot of times. Do you know what I mean? I think it's a question that we can really benefit from asking. Is just, so we assume every thought we have is the best thought and it's just natural and it is what it is. And
right.
It's so important to just say, well, yeah, but is that true? And
how can you know that that's true?
That's right. Trial and error, I guess.
Or who would you be if it wasn't true? I mean, that's the Byron Katie way of thinking. Yeah.
That is the challenging thing about challenging your own assumptions, because then it challenges who you are as a core. And I think that scares some people.
It makes us all very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I've found that people really struggle most with in the market is just the uncertainty. That's, you know, you can go to Twitter and find 1,000 platitudes about it. That is a very common thing. And so what I find is actually this exercise in saying, is that true? And really questioning that gives us some comfort in not knowing. Mm-hmm. It gives us some comfort in uncertainty. It just helps us practice the fact that we don't know what the outcome is going to be. And we have to kind of sit in that. And we humans, we're going to just assume that we know so much about so many things because it gives us a sense of calm and a sense of peace. But as traders, and I mean, as people who are just interested in unknown outcomes, I mean, that's the most exciting place to be anyway. We have to really develop not just a tolerance for uncertainty, but like a love of uncertainty, right? And so this is where kind of the extra quality of basically trusting my ability to follow through or to behave correctly allows me to open up to that uncertainty. So I can ask myself those questions. I can question some of my core beliefs because I know I'm going to show up and I'm just going to do the practical things. I'm going to not trade today, or I'm, you know, if nothing's set up, or I'm going to take a minute, I'm going to take a week off, or I'm going to trade and I'm going to enter at a good, you know, a decent technical spot. I'm going to take a stop. I'm not going to, you know, so there's a really rigid practical thing that we can kind of rely on. And that base of our personality of, let's call it character, right? Our character to be willing to do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. And having that solid foundation then allows us to kind of get weird and question some of those other beliefs. You know what I mean? And kind of test those out, because we trust that no matter what answer we get, we're going to still show up and we're going to act like professionals, you know? And so, so for me, a huge part of being able to even do that is like morning routine process, a quantitative view of markets that says I can I can be long above, I can be short below, I'm going to interact in such and such a way. And so that's kind of technical and less exciting to talk about. But having that rigid framework does allow me to then explore what I believe on top of that, right?
Basically, I think the point is if you don't have that technical background, then parts work is not necessarily going to help you.
Yeah.
It'll still help you, but it's not going to necessarily impact your trading if you don't have that thing to fall back upon.
It's a little like you said, which I think was really good. Things can get a little squirrely when you start asking yourself about your core beliefs, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't have a solid, rigid foundation of behavior, like just I behave consistently, then you're definitely not going to want to start doing parts work and interacting with the market at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. We're not going to pull out all the guts and then just go in there and start clicking buttons, you know?
Yeah, no foundation.
I experienced a little bit of that the past couple of days here.
It's perfect. And so what we want to do is we want to basically till up that ground, right? And and get it ready to plant new seeds, but we're not going to, we're not farming it at that time, you know? And so I really recommend I've done it for myself through cycles, and I do it kind of regularly through cycles where I just take a trading pause and I work through the garden and I pull some weeds. Do you know what I mean? Pull some weeds, try to figure out what's going on. I set trading aside for a minute. And then once I kind of understand where I'm at and I've reached a new stability, then I enter back into trading.
How do you do that? Do you get attention on it? Do you have a journal? Do you go for your 17-mile run? Like, what's your
way? Yeah, I give it the time that it needs. Sounds a little, I want to be as practical as I can be in this. So I can sense it, right? I can sense when it's like, the thinking is not clear. Essentially, there's a lot of mental noise, right?
A lot of voices shouting in your head.
Yeah, and I'm just not feeling it. Usually I have a daily loss or two in a row and I go, okay, all right, one is fine, two is not as great, three, and I've got something's wrong, right? And so you can let that tell you. There's nothing wrong with that, right? You don't have to assume. You can just let the daily loss tell you. Then I step back and I figure out, well, what is kind of going on? And for me, two things are really, really helpful there. Disconnecting from technology is a huge part of it. So disconnect from Twitter, disconnect from a Discord, just get away from everybody else for a minute. You're going to have to do a little bit of it. It's, you're never going to hear your own voices if you've got everybody else's in there too. Right.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I've found is every time I've stepped away for a kind of an extended, maybe a month period from social media, technology, from other people, my brain comes up with these really wild and fantastic ideas, right? It kind of self sorts. And so what I will do is I'll go out in the evening, or I'll go out, usually not during the workday, but in the evening, and just take an hour, hour and a half, think through things. I'm usually writing more at that time. And I've kind of said this about my blog, is like, NQ pays me to write over there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like a requirement of the job.
It's a transcription job.
Just to keep me on, just to keep my head in the right frame. You know, I think those gaps get less and less. Like, I think you have to take more time earlier on and then kind of sort out what's in your mind. We all need to just do it and then come back and reapply. But I think what I see a lot of times is, especially with, you know, people early in trading, is that they have that unsatisfied quality. Like, I want to make some money just so I can prove to myself I can do it, you know? Or, well, I want to make some money so that I can quit my job, or I want to just pass this eval, or I want to just get to the funding requirement, or I want to just, and it's all this, I want to just, and what we have to do there is we have to just take a step back, just hang on. Let's put some good, pure engine oil, some fuel into the system, and let's rerun it again, because it's going to be a lot easier. So we have to take pauses. It's just a huge piece of this for me. But I think that the big part of that is that people struggle to step back, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the hardest things to do, I think.
Yeah.
But every time I do it, every time I've ever taken a week or longer off, I've always come back feeling a lot better and glad I did it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
well, there's an idea of urgency, right? Like, we got to figure it out now. Yes, we need to be profitable now. We need to continue with the process like now. And that urgency is a killer.
Oh, it's terrible. It really is. I mean, that's what keeps prop firms in business.
I know.
That urgency is what keeps prop firms in business. Yeah. So as almost... Okay, if you can step back for a week, whether you come back and make money or not, you've already done something most people can't do.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. And that's so much of what trading is about doing what other people can't do, So
that's a good way to frame it. Actually, that really kind of speaks to me there.
Cool. Yeah. And
taking a stop. Most people can't take the stop and not take another trade.
That's right.
If I can think of it in that way, then the competitive side of me is going to come out and be like, oh, yeah, fuck you, I can do it.
Yeah, exactly. I
can do anything. Staying in the game.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, I have a couple things just really practically, and then we'll get into the headspace a little bit. But there are a few things that I know people can't do. I know people can't take a stop. I can do that. I know people can't take a break. People can't prioritize what they're thinking about over what they're doing. So I prioritize what I'm thinking about over what I'm doing, and I let the actions build out of what I'm thinking. And then people can't size down when they're losing. Mm-hmm. So do that, and you're already ahead of most people. Mm-hmm. Right?
Typical of sizing up.
Losing
harder, faster.
Yep.
That's right. So if you can kind of do those things, how about, you know, just keeping your word when it comes to daily loss limits. Yeah. And if you can do those things, regardless of whether you made money or not, you're already, you know, top 20%, mm-hmm. you know, top 15. Now it's just about finding the edge and really executing it well. So that is kind of how I think about it. I think about it like, maybe I'm losing on P&L. It's just, you know, early on was like, well, I might still be not making money as a trader, but I'm improving and I'm doing things that are elite.
Yeah. Yeah,
nice. People aren't able to do. And so I'm beating them there. And then what happened is I just did that for long enough. And then it was like, oh, hey,
there it is.
Trading's cool. And it really did. I want to just express that it really did get to that point. Like, I know there's a lot of people that are, you know, you see it on social media. They're really like do a lot of hand wringing about what they're going to do next and if they're ever going to make it. And, you know, or they applying a lot of pressure, or even if they're winning, it's just a really high stress situation. And it just doesn't work that way for me anymore. And it's because of this work. It's click some buttons, make some money, click some buttons, lose some money, move on with my life. And
incremental progress over the long period.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as you're still moving in the right direction, you should get to your destination eventually.
You'll get there. And what I see is so many people put so much tension on themselves early on that they blow out, right? You just, it's a marathon. You got to just take the long run. Yeah.
Well, to bring it back to the plan discussion here. So I filled out the worksheet, the same one that Cleo did in our previous conversation. You've had that to make some notes. In the chat box here, I sent a link to my journal, where I keep all my market related content that I've been trying to build out. In there has some of the parts work prep that I was doing for this conversation. Mm-hmm. I'll make sure that I share links to those things. So if anybody else wants to take the assessment or the worksheet, if they want to fill it out, they'll be able to do that. Send it to Andrew. I'm sure he'd love to talk to
absolutely
anybody who wants to put in the effort to do that.
That's right.
And then my stuff has always been out there. So if you want to take a look at that too, maybe it helps to see.
Yeah.
Sometimes it helps to see somebody else going through the same thing. So it makes you feel like you're not alone.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite things in the week is when I get Sunday emails, you know, from a few people and, like with some reviews, with some thoughts, and it's just the best. So, all right, Kyle, you had some folks come up this week. You had
yes, I did.
You had some characters kind of come out. So tell us a little bit, give us like a sense of what was the experience, what went down, and if you don't mind sharing, and kind of we'll walk through it.
Yeah, let's see how to. So there's like a real dichotomy to like my core beliefs. There's an idealist version and then there's a cynical version. I remember like 8 years old, my grandma telling me I was too young to be a cynic. One of those things that stuck in my mind.
Thanks, Graham.
It's like the idea of like, this is how everything should work if everybody can get their heads out of their asses and work towards a common goal. And then this is how the real world actually works. Mm-hmm. And those two ideologies are always kind of fighting each other, it feels like, or they're never in harmony. It's like, this is how I wish things were, but this is how things are.
Okay.
So with that in mind, I kind of broke it down into two main characters that I think express themselves most frequently in my head. One of them, I landed on John Rambo as the name.
Nice.
There's a lot of pressure from Joel's work to come up with some catchy names. So I like this one.
He set a high bar, man.
Yeah, he did. He's like my wild card, though. He's the guy that he'll show up at any time. And when he does, burn the whole fucking place down, try to set the prisoners free. He's got a strong sense of justice. Like the same emotions that I get in trading when I feel him coming out are the same ones that I feel when I'm watching people being put in impossible situations. Like think of a lady getting kidnapped and like trying to navigate that scenario. Like that kind of stuff. I don't know the words to describe it. It's just that injustice that, like,
yeah,
this person can't do anything about this. Will somebody please help this person? That feeling.
Okay. Yeah.
The other person. Oh, well, there's actually a few more notes on here. So I think this is also partly why I really love underdogs, because it's kind of like that. I love the idea of somebody overcoming impossible odds.
Yeah.
And so I think, Rambo just ends up being like the perfect embodiment of that. Some of the notes that I wrote about this, about him, is that Rambo needs direction. So he's, I think where I get into trouble is when he believes what the planner, the logical part of my brain, like when he says, this is the idea that I want you to execute. He says, okay. And then when that idea fails, he says, I'm not surrendering. Like, we believe in this, this cause. We're going to fight until it works. Then that leads to the overtrading, the revenge entries, and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Now, the other aspect of that, the truth seeker, I call him, he's my Carl Sagan.
Okay.
And I chose that name because, like, to him, truth is the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter if it's a good truth or a bad truth. It's the truth. The truth doesn't have any morality to it. It just is.
Yeah.
There's a scene I remember seeing from the original series that he did. God, what was the name of that one? Our planet, or no, the inner cosmos, the cosmos. Okay. I think it was. Yeah. The one of the episodes of that, he threw some dynamite into a lake just to show the cameras what kind of fish were in that lake. Like, that's the kind of person that he could be. So I have to be on guard for that. I think like his methods can be questionable if he's left completely alone.
Okay.
But where I'd want things to work is I want Sagan to come up with the plan. And I want Rambo to go and execute it.
Execute that.
Okay. And I want Rambo to also know that he needs to have more than just a mission. I think he needs the counterpart too. And that's where I think I've been failing lately in my trading.
Okay.
I don't have the plan for what happens when this doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's kind of a binary event in your mind.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Here it is. It's happening. And then when it doesn't happen, there's no exit. Yeah. There's no parachute.
There's no plan. Yeah.
Yeah. It's of course the thing that I see that is unjust.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Should be correct.
This isn't working. And that's actually when we were talking about the core beliefs, like the things that we really believe. And I had to write it down as you were talking about it. But like one of my core beliefs, I think, is that good ideas should get paid. And that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's okay. So that's a super cool. And I'm glad that you stopped and wrote that down, because that's such a nuanced and subtle thing, mm-hmm. that a good idea should get paid. And this is the part that throws everybody is, and I'll say this as many times as I have to, but the randomness of markets requires that we cannot act that way, right? And, and randomness ends up being such a big attribute of price.
Yeah.
I know nobody wants to think that. Nobody wants to talk about that. We're totally in control of our economies and of all the movements of everything, and we can analyze everything perfectly, when in reality, randomness plays a big role.
That's the thing I wrote just underneath that was randomness. I don't fully accept this.
Awesome. Okay. So that's cool. Okay. So give me, I'm just going to shoot into the dark a little bit. It sounds like, one of the attributes as a trading, like execution, what I would expect to see in that is, you know, large down move or large up move fading. Right. So like, is that when you're executing, are you more of a counter trend trader? Are you more of a jump on board when things start moving? You know, what's like, and particularly like a big red down day, what's your default behavior? What's your kind of main mechanism there?
Oh, that is a great question. I get hung up on trying to fade key spots.
Okay.
And if I don't recognize that, okay, you know, if I don't have the plan thought out ahead of time that above this, then this should get challenged, then it's super easy to continually justify, like, oh, okay, well, they poked that swing high. Now they came back inside of it. Okay, now this is the moment. The other one was not it, but now it's the moment.
Yeah.
And then they poke that one, and then it just slowly grinds up. And those are the days that I think I get hurt the most, when a side is winning, but they're winning slowly.
Oh, man, there's nothing worse than a grind. Yeah, I think we all get that. You know, especially with futures, because they can turn so beautifully, and you can be such a part of it, you know, but then it doesn't work sometimes. Right. So.
But typically, like, I don't know how to answer that. Because I have a setup that is looking for a pullback into like a flag pattern based on some rotations that I've been developing.
Yep.
That's more of like a, I guess, like a mean reversion, looking for like a large time frame swing to come back up and challenge some other liquidity levels higher.
Okay.
Yep. But I also have a breakout strategy that uses like delta bars in a study that one of our Discord members wrote for us.
Yeah.
Looking for momentum through those layer areas. So if they blow through a key swing with a lot of delta and they, you know, manage to keep the closes below that driving bar, then I'll enter the retest of that driving bar and try to take the momentum trade then.
When you're in those moments, which one is easier to put on? Which trade is easier to put on? The delta bar kind of push breakout trade? Or
easiest trades are the ones that get filled immediately.
Yeah. I mean, like the level, is it easier for you to basically have a technical level that you fade? Or is it easier for you to see a move, like a breakout move or a kind of a break back in move and take that? Which one's?
I think it's easier the second.
The second one. Okay.
Yeah.
That's really good to know. And so what, that's the better trade, just just technically speaking, right? Is, you know, you're on the right side of the V, like you've got some kind of confirmation. And so what I'm kind of curious of next then would be, do you find yourself falling on kind of the overtrading side of the spectrum or on the kind of cautionary missing moves overthinking side of the spectrum?
Depends on when in the day you're talking about.
Okay. You're probably primarily trading in the morning, right? Like you do most of your executions in the morning. So when you come in, market opens, are you more likely to be in trades early? Or
lately, it's more trades early. It used to be a lot more discipline, but I think I started letting snap entries become a way of getting in because I was just getting frustrated at missing limit entries so often.
Okay.
That like there is this idea that I was playing around with where like I'll just take like a third size as soon as I see the setup and then add to it when it starts moving in my direction.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's also led to me getting a lot more lax with a lot of the criteria.
Yeah.
It's gotten me a lot less patient. I don't think it's beneficial to my trading to allow that kind of entry. It's gotten to the point where it's like I've just taken too many trades now.
Okay.
Yeah. The patience aspect has completely gone away since that, I think.
What's your what's your typical stop size?
Typically it'll be between 20 to 10 points, somewhere in that range.
Okay.
MNQ, I should say. I trade micros because I trade micros in strictly prop accounts because I don't want to put any of my money at risk until I've proven that I can do it
totally
and get paid.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so we're kind of just gathering some information here.
So back to what you're saying there about do I overtrade or do I undertrade? It depends a lot on one thing I've noticed is the P&L has a big impact on that. If I'm down, I tend to overtrade, trying to get it back. Mm. If I'm up, I tend to undertrade because I'm afraid of putting any of the green at risk.
Gotcha.
So what ends up happening is you have positive days, it'll be $300-$400, and you have negative days, it'll be $600-$800.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a classic inversion. Right? Yes. It's an inversion of like we're naturally protecting what we have, right? And willing to risk what we don't have.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And so one of the things that's so great again is like these are such common issues.
Oh,
like, these are the issues that we go through. Yeah.
Right.
These are that's like what's so great about this podcast too, you know, it really is this sharing you understand, even though we all come from different directions, our minds are making very similar decisions. Mm-hmm. And we have to kind of get out of that in a different way, kind of custom for each one of us, but we ultimately do end up getting out of that into the right space, you know? So what's kind of one of the triggers for your more destructive, like John Rambo, he's coming out when you don't really want that to be the case. Like what's happening when that happens? Do you know what I mean? Like
One of the key phrases that I've learned that it's like a trigger to stop is the thought, what am I doing right now?
Okay.
If I ever hear that in my head, then I know that I have completely lost control. And it's like there's one little part, or like one little guy that's like raising his hand, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
can you stop this, please?
Yay. It's so good that you have that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's amazing, all you need is that guy to break you out of the like shit loop, right?
Yes.
And that's the typical dialogue that's happening for most people when they're trading and when things aren't going well. Like, you know, and some. You know, compulsive thought pattern. So all you don't need to be a genius. You just need to be able to raise that hand and go, huh?
Here's the other thing that like from the very first account that I blew, and I remember writing this down, like I just put in, I think what happens, I put in too many rules, and like my personality does not like having rigid structure.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think it just rebelled against that. And one of the things I was struck by was just how good it felt to blow it all up.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Like you got a little punk rock in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You got
yes. a little.
Okay. And I think there's some great things about that. And what we've kind of talked about so far are negative qualities, right? Some of the negative attributes of these things. But what about, okay.
I mean, we're talking about the negative ways that they impose themselves, but
everything
that I've written out was trying to look at it from the positive side of it.
No, totally. You're totally right on that. And what we're seeing is we're seeing them manifest themselves negatively in the market.
Yes, yes.
And what I think is so cool is we can start to switch that a little bit, right? And just like you have written them out as kind of heroes, like these are heroes of, you know, who you are. So how can we, the trick is that they're overreaching heroes at this point, right?
Yeah. I don't want one in charge at any point in time. I want them working together.
Yes, exactly. You got Rambo coming in here to the, you know, like the after church buffet, blowing everybody up, you know,
right.
Like, hey, dude, just get some ham and sit down.
Can this be a thing, Andrew, where they actually work together or do they need to take turns?
They think of them just like any set of employees, any set of a team. Basically they handle different jobs and they kind of don't need to step into other people's circles. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's really just, we're not really looking for them to really even understand one another. Okay. And like counterbalance or anything like that. We're really looking to figure out, for example, so John Rambo is, you know, this wild card, crazy guy. Well, how can we understand what triggers him and how can we cool him down a little bit so that he can just do what he's supposed to do?
Yes.
Right. It sounds like I would expect that he can take a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Okay. He's your guy who can suffer. He's your guy. In fact,
he probably relishes it. Like it's,
he probably loves it.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's the guy that, you know, you have, let's say you have a week of bad trading. You want to quit. You start getting disheartened. Do you know what I mean?
He's the guy who's going to say, no,
we're doing this, man.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're not quitting on me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super important. So we want to really highlight that quality. The thing is that inside of the market scenario, so what was the actual like event, if you can go into it like this week is, or, you know, that's kind of happened where, you know, or even one where it's like, I went into sabotage mode. Like, what did that look like? And I know we all have them.
I'm going to try. It's a good thing I made some notes here, but
yeah.
So all I felt was the presence. I wasn't able to really define the characteristics of who it was or any of the personality traits. Sure. All I felt was that this realization as I looked at the trades that I was taking and knowing that I have stuff that I've been trying to do for the last 2 months that I know would build the confidence that I need in order to make this problem go away that I've not been doing and still taking two max draw days in a row. That moment when I looked at that moment, a realization was that something is trying to get me to go broke now and leave this risky career. That was just the feeling I had. It was overwhelming. It looked crystal clear. I closed the charts up immediately and then started doing back testing because that's the thing that it's been trying to stop me from doing because it knows that that's going to just draw out the process longer.
Huh. Okay. Well, there's some really cool stuff in that. So
I don't know if that's true or not. That's just the way it felt, I should say.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. That's the beauty of it. It doesn't really matter if it's true. We're just getting a sense of that sensation and trying to figure out what that is. So do you believe that you can figure out trading to the degree, like the elite level that you'd like to figure it out one day?
Yeah. I think I have all the tools, all the knowledge. Now it's just putting them all together in the right way that makes sense to me in a way that I can execute faithfully.
Okay. So really what was the tension that you were finding there was that, you know, you were coming in well prepared and the market just wasn't aligning with what you're trying to do and it was costing you essentially.
Mm-hmm. Maybe when this first started going down, but I think that preparation has been slipping too.
Okay. What I see a lot of times, right, is we do the work, right? We do our process, we do our prep, we show up, we give it a good try, we don't get the result that we want.
And then
it's like, okay, well, what did I do all that work for? You know?
Right.
And so that's a great spot where we have to, I draw on some of the things from my creative past, and I'll just kind of share those. Mm-hmm. The work we do in markets is ultimately is an extremely subjective task. Mm-hmm. Because we submit our work, our trade ideas, we submit our trades, we submit our tickets, right? All that stuff. And then the market judges whether it's correct or it's incorrect. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see a lot of people who are like data scientist types, a lot of people who are engineers. They come in and they're engineering the market, and that's great, but that's only doable in hindsight.
Right.
Once we're in the moment, we have to take our ideas, we have to submit them to the market, and we have to see if the market agrees or if it disagrees. And so your guy, right, who's coming in and saying like, you know, I should be blowing this thing up. This is, I've done all the work, right? There's an expectation there. And that's one of the things that you filled out in your trader reviews, you know, your kind of intro was, mm-hmm. was you have a lot of expectations of how things should work and how they should be.
Yep.
And ultimately we understand that we can't move markets, right?
Yeah.
But what we don't understand is in that little moment where we've done all the work creatively, we've done everything we're supposed to do. We've gotten our sleep. We've kept our blood sugar low, right? We've told the kids to stay downstairs and we're focused on the market and we show up and we still lose money. Mm-hmm. And it's because ultimately like the market is the decider of whether or not we get paid today. And what's wild is that as a trader, you know, everybody's mindset is on how great they're going to be, what a great talent they're going to have, how much money they're going to make. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's, I just am going to do this and I'm going to do it well. And any of those kind of positive expectations, we then show up to the market and it goes poorly. And we fight that. And if I can just share like an anecdote, this was hard for me in my early creative work, but I found it to be just intensely helpful. And I'll also say this, that my creative background hasn't always helped me in markets, mm-hmm. right? We all get a little creative sometimes and start right. getting a little off.
Maybe a bit
the
much.
Innovator.
Yeah, a little bit much. And so understanding where not to be creative is extremely helpful. But what is very helpful is basically when I was early on in my career in film, I would submit work and we were on a show. I was working on Life of Pi as a visual effects artist, and we would submit work. And in the meetings, they would say, this stuck with me. They would say, don't show it unless it's Oscar worthy.
Yeah.
And, which is like, okay, like I'm 25 or something, you know, 26, right. Like that's a pretty big ask, you know? And what we all got used to, and I want people to be able to have this as well, is we got used to trying as hard as we could for like 3 days at our desk for 10 hours a day, showing it to the director and having them hate it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then they would hate it. And then we would take it back to our desk and we would do it again. And they would hate it again. And then we would take it back to our desk. We would do it again. Okay. Now it's been almost 2 weeks. You know, you're redoing it over and over again. Then you submit it and they say, great. There's no extra fanfare. There's no, you're amazing. There's nothing like that.
That'll work.
Just acceptance.
Hey,
good enough.
I will accept that.
Right.
And you just, and that was really satisfying. So then what we did was we learned to be satisfied by the quality of work, the way that we were presenting ourselves to the problem, instead of, this is why process is such a great part of mm-hmm. trading, is that we can then judge ourselves not on the result, right? But on, did I show up? Did I have the strength of character to show up every day to the problem, apply myself well, and move on, you know? Basically knowing that if I just continue to do this with a certain percentage risk on my account, right? So my drawdown doesn't go too crazy. Mm-hmm. I will at some point have the shot approved in my case, you know, or I will have the trade will work. And that's why this mental work buys us time. We take what we have into the market each morning. We show up, we apply our skill, we apply our idea. It pays, it doesn't pay. We don't really know. We take back into our review process. We spend some time thinking about how we can do this better, how we can think about this better. And then we reapply back to the market the next day. And we ask the market, is it ready? Is my process ready today? You know, is this good? Mm-hmm. What do you think? And it's an extremely humbling experience. So, you know, when you get people on, you know, on Twitter, you get people on markets and they're all bravado. It's like, well, I know you're losing because this isn't how markets work,
right.
You know? If you have what it takes to be successful in markets, it's just a deeply humbling experience.
And resilient. I mean, I think that that's got to be one of the key qualities of traders. And from your story, too, it's like building up the ability to be resilient, be rejected, rejected. Oh, there's a glimmer of light, but it's not even that exciting. It's just like, yes, okay, rejection.
That's exactly right. And you know what? Every glimmer of light, like none of it changes your life, right? And that's such an important part. You're like, yay, I won today. And guess what? I have to do this for the next 10 years. You know, like I have to do this 10,000 more times. So, you know, if we can, you know, one of the classic sayings is like, think about it in the aggregate. Like you're not one trade, it's the next 100 trades or whatever. But that's really what that kind of comes down to, right? Is like, okay, so this line didn't work. Fine. I hated that line anyway. And what's tomorrow? You know, one of the things.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
One of the things that I think is so great, and we're going to come back to John specifically here, John Rambo, but what we're trying to do is we're trying to build good reactions. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's all we're trying to do. That's all I'm trying to do with people in coaching is I'm just trying to help them build quality responses, quality reactions, okay? And into random environments mm-hmm. where they have expectations and where money's on the line and they are responding calmly and rationally, mm-hmm. right? That's all we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm passionate about that, right, is because if we can have people do that in markets, that's great. They can make money. If we can have people do that in society, that's great for society. Do you know what I mean? If you can teach your kids how to respond, you know, reasonably and rationally, like that's good for society. Okay. And so, you know, for me, like none of this isn't necessarily just like a recreational, like.
No, this has applications across all aspects of your life.
It does. Sure. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like we need more reasonable people. Okay. You know,
amen to that.
So I'm passionate about being a reasonable person. And we do that through, just like with kids, we do that with looking at what children are inside of us, right? And then maturing them, mm-hmm. maturing them over time, giving them, hey, you're not going to get what you want in this case. You know, my 5-year-old son, he asks for sushi for breakfast every morning.
Nice.
Smart kid.
He's got a fine palate, I guess. So, yeah. Dude, I'm not getting you sushi every morning. Like we live in the desert.
So he needs to make a sushi cereal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he doesn't want cookie crunch or whatever.
Sashimios.
Yeah. So I'm like, sorry, man, can I just get you this toast? And okay, that's what I have to do every morning is I have to talk him off the ledge right. from sushi, reframe his expectations of what life is, give him hopefully not burnt toast, right? And send him off to school with both shoes. And that's what we have to do for these personality parts in ourselves. And what's so amazing about markets is how random they are. And they give us this perfect, they give us a perfect canvas, right? To be frustrated, to be upset, to be irritated, and to let those things come out to figure out, okay, so what's going on? So if we can just create a mechanism for when you start to feel that injustice, okay, a level is here. It's a good level. I have done my work. I take the trade. The trade loses. What's the next mechanism we can put in your head? So
One of the things that I was reflecting on, and I talked about, I think, Rambo needing direction.
Yeah.
He's a soldier. He's not the captain, right? He's not the platoon leader. Yeah. He's just the guy who goes out and pulls the trigger.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I think that would help is if there was a plan for him, like he needs a mission. So his mission is to find an entry at this spot.
Yeah.
If that fails, then what's his mission after that? He needs another mission.
Take the pain, Rambo.
It's either, well, no, the mission could be like sit and observe. Like, you know, you could do some recon here. Maybe wait and look for the next opportunity. You have these specific parameters that you're looking for.
You know, you've responded a couple of times to like the challenge, right? Like the challenge of something. And I'm kind of wondering, is John the one who's responding to the challenge? Like, is it the same vein?
Like, I feel like that's a core part of me. That's like the thing that probably unites all of these players is they all...
They all love a good challenge.
They all love the challenge, yeah.
Huh, okay.
That like for Sagan, it's the ultimately, it's finding the truth of any situation, like the real truth. Like I think there's a part of me that likes to take, I think we talked about this last time, about taking the counter argument of something I don't even believe in, just to see how strongly the other person believes in it.
Help me, this might be cartooning them up a little bit here, but is if John Rambo is super psyched to take the level and he's ready to just like kill no matter what, does Carl have an ability to seek the truth in that moment and say, slow down, friend?
I don't think he's been given the opportunity.
Okay. He just hasn't been given the opportunity.
Yes.
Okay.
He's probably shouting in the background somewhere like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? You're getting everybody killed. Stop. Surrender. Retreat.
One thing, this is a technical thing, but what I see for a lot of people who get stuck in the, in that rapid fire mode is time frames are too tight and stops are too tight and positions size doesn't really matter. I mean, it could be whatever, but even a simple thing like slowing down your data refresh rate. And I know nobody wants to like give up the edge of data refresh, but if markets are actually kind of random, you don't necessarily need to see every millisecond of a candle building. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see the trade.
No, that's, you hit the trade. That's fascinating you say that, because there was like my main execution chart's a 30-second.
Okay.
And I probably spend way too much time on that. But when I was doing some review, I don't know if it was over the weekend or maybe it was on Friday, but I smushed the chart in together so I can get the screenshot of everything that happened on that day.
Yeah.
And I really liked the way it looked.
Okay.
I liked the fineness of the 30-second candles, but I also liked it being smushed together. So you kind of
like the bigness of
it. You kind of see, kind of see more like, get like a couple hours worth of data in there, 4 hours worth of 30-second candles, and suddenly it looks a lot more soothing. It's not as chaotic.
You know, you're not each candle is a data point that you're processing, right? So each candle is high, low, open, close. You know, the whole thing, color, whatever.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, you know, if you're trading that tighter time frame, like I mean, I've done time on the 30-second, I've done time on the 15-second, like I've done all of those, and if I'm gonna do that, I have
we
to
did an M period on a 5-second once. That was nuts. Oh, man.
Like, yeah, I just can't do it anymore.
What is your time frame? What do you trade, Andrew?
I typically trade a 5-minute time frame.
Yeah, that's what I used to trade a lot of, and I may end up going back to that.
I trade the 5-minute because I'm chill AF. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's, I will never change off of it at this point. And I like that. So I put it on and it reminds me, I have no control here. That's my stop. I don't know more than this. And that's for me, that's, that helps me just be totally aware of the lack of control and the randomness of the market. I put it on and I say, below here, I want out. And I just leave it alone and I don't worry about it.
That's your optimal state. That's what has you be in your happy place as a trader.
That's exactly right.
And not stressing.
You know what, Cleo, you talked about having fun. This is one of the things for me, and I'm going to just throw this out to you, Kyle. I mean, you figure it out on your own, but my phone died. It got washed and I replaced it with a harmonica. And I don't have it with me, but I learned that blues riff, you know, dun, 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 dun. And so when I get stopped out, sometimes I do a little blues riff in my head. Okay. And that's just my own thing. That's my own way to make it fun. Like, I got stopped out by a tick and then it went my way. Okay. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And no, I like that actually.
That lightens it up for me. And it allows me to take the challenge of being who I want to be in the market, but it just makes it fun.
It makes it fun, but also gives it a release too, in a way that's not detrimental.
Not so serious.
Yeah. It's not so serious. Like,
well, I think about those moments when like everything's too serious and then like you hear somebody like light up a joke somewhere out of the corner of the room and then suddenly everybody's laughing. The tension's gone.
Well, you know what? That's such a big part of, you know, your personality, Kyle. It's like in the conversation is kind of making it fun, like spontaneous, you know, working with it. And we can take those little random moments just, you know, in markets and apply the same thought. Hey, this doesn't offend me, you know, or just having fun time losing money today, I guess, you know, like that. It is what it is. And you can't change it. No amount of controlling it will ever change it, right? No amount of like Rambo coming in here and slaying it with, you know, 50 cal is gonna make us have control over the outcome.
He's really got a Red Ryder BB gun if we're talking about my size. Okay.
You know, and so how can you lighten that up, you know, and how can you, maybe that helps you diffuse his intensity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We go, man, my intensity, my seriousness, I tend to get a little over serious. And when I start to feel this guy coming on, I just go, hey, truth is, it's kind of random. Do you know?
You know what? No, you know what? Okay. So Rambo goes, gets his mission. He takes his stop and he gets run the fuck over. Like the thought in my head is like, well, there Rambo just got murdered. See and if he comes back tomorrow.
I have, this is going to sound funny. Maybe you guys will appreciate this, but in my like Twitter handle, I have questionable decisions as like one of my first.
Yeah. I saw that.
Okay.
Yeah. that and is, also not here long.
Not here long. All those things are here to remind me that none of this, like it's all random and none of it matters that much. And so those are statements out to the world from me that say, I'm going to take my stop regardless of what that means. Do you know what I mean? And it defuses it for me. So I sort of create a new personality, right? A new personality that I like, who's kind of in charge, who understands the randomness. Maybe that's Carl. You go, hey, Carl is focused on the truth and I'm going to make him a bigger part of my day. So I'm going to start out by, what is true about markets, right? Markets are random. Markets are out of my control. I could show up today and make money. I could show up today and not make money. I, you know, the only way to ensure I maybe make money is by doing my process, you know, and even then it's 50.
And even then it's not guaranteed.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So you take all those things and you create for yourself an identity. And so that's a big part of the work that what I like to do with people is we want to create. We want to hear all the thoughts that everybody's got, then we want to hear the beliefs, and then we want to create a new, real, true identity, right? That is, you know, that is based on who we want to be in markets. And if we don't create kind of a, like the mind connects. So if we create kind of a false identity even, and then work to grow into that person, it's just extremely beneficial. There's a really good podcast on it. And it talks about, there's an ultra runner. His name, he refers to himself as the Iron Cowboy. Right.
Okay.
And if you go look him up, he's a crazy person. But his whole thing is he kind of steps into this persona of the Iron Cowboy, and it makes him do sort of superhuman things. Like he doesn't ask what he wants to do. He asks like, "What does the Iron Cowboy do in this situation?" And he, you know, Iron Cowboy keeps running, and you know, and he's this crazy dude. And so we can use this idea of now we've built out who's in our heads, but now let's build also an identity of who we want to be. Let's build a projection out into the future. Let's build a vision for who we would like to be in markets. And so much of how I interact, in fact, every way that I interact in markets now isn't based on sort of those default personalities that are part of my team, although I know they're there and I like them. They are, I've basically put them into a corporation that has a CEO and a vision and a projection and has a place to go. And that's what every business does, right? That's what every organization does is we take a few parties, we put them on the bus, and then we start driving that bus somewhere. And so, you know, we think about like Kyle, what kind of trader, give me a couple attributes. What kind of trader would you like to be? Like what is kind of the definition of who you would like to be in markets?
I would like to be chill.
Chill.
I'd like to just not care about the results, to care about the process, to take satisfaction from that, knowing that I did the things, I controlled what I could control. That's what I want to be. I want to be happy, contented with that.
Okay.
Enthusiastic about that even.
Yeah. And I let go of the rest. Essentially.
Yes.
Okay. And that's part of what you said kind of with who you are on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, take me to a cool spot with no expectations and we'll have an adventure. Is that right?
Yeah. Right? Or I'll just sit around on the beach and I can sip cocktails and read books and fish all weekend. You know, it'll be whatever. I don't want to plan it. I just want to do it.
That's the guy we need in markets. That's you the think? Guy. Yes. I know it sounds crazy. That's
vacation
the
guy.
We need vacation guy to show up on the at the market. This is not new either. This isn't me inventing a thing and telling it to you. I've read this in so many books, trader books, and they recall this. And I realized it in my own self, and then I started to find it. Maybe that's just confirmation bias. But in Tom Hogarth's Best Loser Wins, he talks about he made great trades while on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back, and in the subsequent weeks, he like gave it all back, you know,
right.
when he was back at his desk. Because he came in, he switched from, I'll take the best opportunities and I won't care. He made money
mm-hmm.
to I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to force it. I'm a genius. I'm in control of my destiny. And you just give it all back.
Different right. guy. That's a different
right.
guy.
It's a different, entirely. They're different guys. Those are different parts.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
so we go, hey, you know, like that guy, again, that guy's great for doing your books and sending stuff to the accountant, but maybe actually weirdly in markets, what you need is the chill guy who's willing to kind of just roll with the punches. Willing to act, but you cannot lose your rigid.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. How do I keep the two of those together? Because I think that's going to be the struggle. The vacation guy doesn't like the structure and the plans and yeah. the rules and the routines.
You create a consistent feedback loop. And mm-hmm. that is, it's just like everything else. Like you, let's say you're training for something, right? You lift the weights, you jump on the scale. You lift the weights, you jump on the scale. It's, you know, you adjust your diet, you get up, you lift the weights, you jump on the scale, you adjust your diet. Like it's over and over again, whatever. So in markets, and I have kind of a method that I love for this where it's review, you know, it's notes on chart. It's put it all out, save it. Where did I make mistakes today? Where was I to one side or where was I to the other, right? You cannot learn these things without doing them and failing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to show up and you're just going to record today. I was too rigid. I was too rigid about my stop. Okay. I should have given this a little bit of room to play, or I came in and I got a little creative. Fine. It's not, we're not being critical. We're not condemning ourselves for those mistakes. We're saying, good to know,
yeah.
right? We take the notes, we put them aside. We come back the next day. We do it again. We go, okay, today I was less creative, but you know, I sat on three opportunities that I should have been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we put that into the notes and you do that for 100 days and you find out that you're a different person at the end of it.
Hmm.
That's what's so wild, but you have to record those specific details. Where was I too, you know, where was I too relaxed about the outcome? I opened up my stop and I ended up taking a 3-hour stop on the day. And that was kind of a waste of time.
Right.
Okay. But I'm not critical. I'm not an idiot for that. Right. I don't go, you stupid moron.
Right.
You go, now I know. Okay. Now I know. And you just keep going. And I can't express that enough.
I think the key there too is like the bulk of data. You need more than just one data point, because that's one yeah. thing that is one thing that I had to fight the urge to do is like, okay, it didn't work this time, then none of them are going to work ever again, or this worked yeah. this time, then take this every time you see it.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the best plan either.
That's right. And you're oscillating kind of from one extreme to the next.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's through that repetition that we start to find polish and we start to find like a smooth edge. So you know, it's no different. Everybody approaches markets like, you know, they want to jump into the basketball, you know, game and just start dunking on everybody. But the reality is you're going to dribble it off your foot a lot of times before you get to that point.
Yeah.
And for some reason, because we lose a lot of self-awareness because it's just us and the screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just us and the screen. So we picture ourselves as like the all-star trader or whatever. And what we don't realize is, hey, start at the very beginning. Let's just start doing some reps. Let's just start bouncing the ball back and forth. You know, let's catch some passes. Let's, you know, it's trading is a hand skill, and it's a hand skill that is somewhere between how we execute technically, like where we put our stops, how we click the buttons, what we do, and how we think about what we're doing, right? You know, even a simple thing like I say this to people, like, don't worry about having a perfect edge mm-hmm. yet. Have a perfect behavior. So I don't care if you say every time a bar, let's say a 5-minute bar makes a new high, I'm going to place an order at the mid of the bar
mm-hmm.
that places a new high. Okay, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to put my stop at the low of the bar. That's all. I'm going to look for 2R on this trade. I don't know if that has edge. I don't know if that action has edge. And I don't know where it has edge. But if you could just start to create that mechanical behavior, now you're training yourself to just do the hand skill of following your process, of following your system, okay? Then you do that. And in something really rigid like that, really basic, you know, then you can start to see, I wanted to deviate. What was the voice? What part of me wanted to deviate? Let me just write that down. Let me put that in my notes. Okay, now I know that it's there, you know?
That's a good point too. I had done the, I think I'd went through the thing, like the, I'm going to have a process. It's going to be defined out. I'm going to execute it regardless of the outcome. Because if I can follow a bad plan, then when I eventually get a good plan, I'll be able to follow that. But I kind of gotten away from that again. So I think maybe.
Oh, it's a brutally rigid thing. You have to just be extremely disciplined about it. Like just extremely disciplined. Like I am never going to waver from this. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah. But no matter how much pain it takes,
Sounds like it's worth going back to that. Do you think it's worth putting some like exercises together even just to build some habits? Like,
yes,
I'm going to take every one of these trades today just to prove to myself that I can take them and I can take the stops.
Yes, absolutely. And what you can do in that. So think about it. So the moment that we're looking for is the moment between what could happen and what does happen. So what could happen. And then when what does happen, that creates the part. That creates the tension that reveals the belief to us, right? So let's say I'm going to put this on. The chart looks good. I'm getting long. I'm in a good spot. I took the stop. Okay. If there's an experience that you've had there, what was it? Write it down. It's just a subtle thing. It's just a little thing. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get clean, pure stops. So like if you're, you know, I've got one of those like eco diesels, you know, and they run a bunch of water through it and they do some other stuff that I don't understand. And it tries to put out emissions or less emissions. That's what we're trying. We're trying to create like less emissions with our trading. So I took a stop and I felt nothing. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate thing. I put in the stop. I took it. I didn't feel like I needed to trade again. I didn't feel like I needed to, you know, move my stop or add to the loser. I felt like I was kind of hungry. That's what we want to have, right? When I take a stop, I want to think,
I can eat.
Are there cookies downstairs?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's, and it's, so it should really be that. It should be this extremely, the market didn't hurt me by taking my, you know, by hitting my stop. It didn't bother me. Some idiot came out here and sold it when he should have bought it. What am I supposed to do? You know, fine. That's not my problem. I'm going to go have a cookie. And I think that's a, if you can build that out. Now, if you're somewhere not there, if you, this is how you should know if you need to do psychological work, you know, in trading is if you put on a trade and you take a stop and you feel something, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. And I say that it's not about being emotionless. It's not, this is so much about what the experience is and knowing who we are and building that out in order that when we put on the trade and we take the stop, we feel nothing.
Yeah, we got to get away from the point where the stop feels like a referendum on my ability as a trader.
Right. It has nothing to do with it.
Right.
Oh, some random shit happened.
Yeah.
That's what it should, you know, that's what it should feel like.
Is there any benefit to personifying like the market as a whole? Because I think it might be easier to accept it if I can think of it in terms of like, well, you know, I'm making bets on what the masses are going to do, but that doesn't mean that some fucking jackass in the back isn't going to go throw a wrench in the whole thing by, you know, wrecking his bike into.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So for me, the market is a thing that moves kind of no different than like, you know, like a river, right? Mm-hmm. Or any other sort of thing. Like it has movement, it has existence, and I don't feel like it should do anything at any time. Mm-hmm. But if, okay, let's say we make a solid low on the indexes, we're in an uptrend and we're creating some sort of like basing pattern down lower. And I get a trigger for me that is a candle pattern that allows me to put on risk. I mean, and I'll say this to like, you know, if I'm trading with someone, I'll say, well, I'm buying here and everybody else should too. Mm-hmm. Wrong here. And if like, you know, like the lows, I'll even say like the low is in, but so is my stop. And I just move away from it. I go like, if everyone's doing what they should be doing, they should also see this and they should buy it. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, then that's their problem. And I guess I'll get stopped out for, you know, less than a, like an R, you know, like a reasonable amount. And giving that responsibility actually of the trade working to everybody else is a helpful mechanic.
God, yeah, it is. It takes a lot of the pressure off yourself. It's now out of my hands.
Oh my God.
It's like a little bit of like narcissism training.
You know? Oh yeah. Oh, it's not like
it's the opposite of that, right?
Like, well, I'm not the problem. Oh, yeah. It's not my, it's like the market's the issue.
Okay. So that's a really great, one of the things that I've helped people with, and I've helped myself with this in the beginning, is you'd get a big down day and everybody would want to rescue the down day. Like it's like a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Oh, let me help you down day. Oh, you're trending terribly lower. Let me see if I can solve your problems, you know? And then they get killed. And so just being like, hey man, she's not your problem, bro. But that was a helpful thing. You know what I mean? Like, or whatever.
No,
whatever.
I'm laughing because it's pulled up a very clear image of a something that happened in the military a few times, or at least once that I know of that. So like on the aircraft carrier, they have this massive lockers where they put these chains in. These things are like huge, huge pits that, you know, the chain gets coiled up in.
Yeah.
Like there's a person who's doing his rounds. He's supposed to check the chain locker. He opens it up and looks down, and there's a body down at the bottom, like next to the ladder.
Okay.
He panics. He runs down to go see what's wrong. He keels over as he gets about 5 feet into there and falls off and dies. Next guy comes up and looks down, sees two bodies down there. And he's like, oh shit, I got to go down and help those guys. He goes down too.
Yeah.
So now you got three bodies. And then it wasn't until like the fourth or fifth, the person's finally like, maybe we should check out what's going on in here before we start piling in.
There's enough yeah, evidence here. Yeah.
You know, I think we see it.
So just to explain what actually happened, the chains, as they rust, it takes away all the oxygen in the environment. And so these people are going into a confined space where there is no oxygen. And as soon as they got in, couldn't breathe, they just passed out and fell down.
Oh, geez. Well, that's probably a perfect picture of markets. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So what I found for me is personal responsibility is massive, but it ends at the things I can't control, right? So entry, prep, all that I'm responsible for. And then I'm not responsible for the bit in the middle where the market does stuff, which is, this is the hard part. This is the hard part for everyone. Mm-hmm. Most people are not responsible for their behavior. And then they come in and try to be responsible for the market's behavior. And that's insane. That is an insane idea, right? I just want to make that clear. Yeah. And then the part where they're supposed to be responsible for their actions, right? they're letting them be determined by the market like crazy people. Okay. So inverse this thing, you know, the responsibility sandwich, you've got the bread on one side, the market does the meat, and then you do the bread on the other side, and that's it. So once the trade is on, it is the responsibility of the market to move your position.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it.
I've turned in my work now.
Yeah. I've submitted it.
Yeah.
Done. So now my job is just to focus on that stop.
Wait and see if we get the contract.
That's yes, exactly. You know, and nothing's anything until it's something, right? That's a phrase that I've used in my independent working career forever. Nothing's anything until it's something. So I submit the work, I see if it's something, and then I wait and see. You know, it's really that. And then my job is over when the market tells me if it is or if it isn't. I take my rejection letter. And so if you can create that sandwich, three pieces, I'm responsible for the start, market does the middle, I'm responsible for the end and my behavior. I pack up my briefcase and I tuck my tail out the front door, you know, with my sales merchandise or whatever, and, you know, go on to the next door.
Well, I think there's a couple good key takeaways here for me. One of them is going to be like the feedback loop. Like,
yeah.
I think having it thought out as like a work cycle like that, like, okay, I've done my prep. This is my spot. I want to buy. I bought it. My job is done.
Yes.
Now it's in someone else's hands and I'm just waiting for their feedback. That makes it a little easier to not try to question the results, man. I think it makes it easier to accept those results.
That's right. You know, as that position moves too, this is a big part that people struggle with. So, okay, we've done all that prep. We're in, maybe we even take stops really great, but we don't let our winners really run the way that we should.
Right.
Continue to reapply in your mind. I'm now only responsible for the stop. Let the market do random wiggly things above it. It can dance around and do whatever it wants to do above your position. You don't have another responsibility until it tells you it's time to leave, right? Mm. And that's such a big part of this too, because we can do all this other stuff right, but if we're just taking one-to-one intraday scalps, it's a hard gig. And we want to just enjoy the randomness of the market. So once you've cultivated that idea of responsibility, I've put the trade on, I've put my stop in, I've protected myself. Now there's this massive uncertainty of what the market might do. And if we can learn to enjoy that moment. That's like the best moment for me. The market is doing wiggly things above my stop and I've got nothing to do. Like I am on vacation. Pax talks about this. Like yeah. he says it easy, like Sunday morning. And that's the mindset, is that you're just enjoying watching the market move away from your stop. Like, mm-hmm. do you know what I mean? Like, go over there. Like, go have fun. Like, how far you want to go? And just enjoy that. Just enjoy the fact that you don't know what's going to happen next. And you don't have to do anything. You're on vacation. And the market yeah. will tell you when it's time to leave. You know, or a time will tell you when it's time to leave. Or, you know, maybe an R multiple tells you what time it is to leave, depending on your system and how you're trading.
Yep. Oh, that's what the other one was. The other one was to think of Rambo as being, he's my executor. When he's wrong, it's usually no survivors in those situations. No,
that's right. Yeah, you're going to get wasted.
If I think of it as Rambo getting completely slaughtered on the battlefield, maybe it'd be a little harder for him to come back in and try to continually renegotiate the terms of surrender.
You do need to be a little scared of Rambo, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, let go of the account. Like, just put it down. Put down the account. You put that account down.
You get that entry and that's your job. That's you your die job, defending man. It, but your dying point is the stop point. If it gets right. to that, you're done.
That's right. And then cultivate, you know, vacation Kyle.
Yeah.
Right. This is the question that I keep wanting to come back to, is like creating the person that we want to step into more, right? Like Kyle has a version of himself that's vacation guy.
Yeah.
And I imagine in your world, at least, and probably his, like he wants to not be stressed, right? Like the ideal state, he's going to be cultivating more, but it's not some random character that we're creating, right? Yeah. It's actually
a state we can anchor onto.
Attributes of our own. Yeah. We already know some experience, but it hasn't been applied to this context. So it's like, okay, we're going to apply that here because that's my desired state.
That's right. It's all our best parts. It's all our best parts, right? And we create kind of a Frankenstein new better person that we want to step into, and then we just step into it.
Is it better than to be vacation Kyle throughout the whole day? Or because it might be easier for me to trigger stepping into that personality or that mindset if I had an actual like set point, like, okay, we get our work done in the mornings, we get our entry, once the entry's in, now it's time to go on vacation, stops are in, let's just go,
now we're talking,
leave and not worry about it.
That's right. And I would even argue that it's potentially beneficial to bring some pieces of vacation Kyle in even during that whole process.
Right? My fear would be that I would be just trying to force an entry so I can go on vacation and stop worrying.
Okay, that's a real thing. Don't do that. Yeah, absolutely a real thing.
Yeah.
Sneaky.
Oh, man. The mind.
That's my trickster, my Loki, I guess. It's probably, I have to define that guy.
I trade for 2 hours in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's my defined window. Mm-hmm. And if I see a setup outside of that, I look at it and I go, cool.
Right.
Like, nice. Hope somebody got that one.
Right.
That's my time frame. And I know that's my time frame because I enjoy operating at that perfect mental state. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy it. Like, I just love it. I love being at that perfect combination. It's like a good gumbo, you know, it's like all the pieces are in there just right. And we're not overdoing it on anything. And guess what? I can only maintain that for so long. Yeah. And then I'm done. And then I reward myself by saying, hey, you're finished with the work. Let's move on. Like, I don't, you know, even right now we're in the middle of the day. I don't have a trading platform open, mm-hmm. right? I'm done. I've been done for hours. And that's a fantastic gift to me as a human being. You know, this is the humanity of trading after all, right? And I need to give myself the gift of being done with the work. All this stuff is hard. Everything we're talking about here is really hard and messy. And do you want to live in that all the time? No, like,
it's exhausting talking to all these people and trying to keep, anybody who's been a manager knows what that's like.
Yeah. Do it for a few hours
and
do not expect yourself to be able to operate at this insane level for much longer. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's really, bring your best, bring it for a minute, shut it down.
Yeah.
If it's 45 minutes, if it's an hour, I mean, you can get the job done in markets with a decent bit of size in 45 minutes with the right skill and the right focus. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be here all day, you know, the right time frame.
In fact, the longer I stick around, the worse I do.
Yes. There's a negative correlation for sure. Yeah.
This is so awesome, Andrew. Like, I think what I'm noticing, the impact of having these conversations with you, is I feel the truth that I'm closer than I have thought that I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that it's actually like, I'm doing the work, I'm showing up and sticking to my process and gaining more self-awareness and taking notes. And right. it's actually really encouraging. Like,
yeah,
I think that as long as we're in the game and staying with it and becoming more self-aware and orienting toward more of ourselves, like yeah. that's, I think, the biggest nugget that I've gotten out of this. It's like, who am I?
Yeah.
Who do I want to be? Where is my joy? Yeah. Let's not be urgent. That's not the way. Yep. What are the, how do I want to be in this world of trading? And it's never too late to start over. And I'm just going to start from a good place. And I mean, I do that all the time, but it's, I feel really encouraged. Ah, so that's, yeah, thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. A great thing in that. And you guys are both very much on, you know, you guys are doing it, right? This is what it looks like. This is what it looks like to build out good process mm-hmm. and to develop over time. But, you know, starting with the end in mind, like that's the phrase. So start with the end in mind, because there's no point in getting to be a successful trader and then hating how you do it and who you are doing it. Like,
yeah. right.
I don't work for a investment banking firm or, you know, I'm an independent trader. I'm doing this for the well-being of my own life and my own family. And that's all, do you know?
Mm-hmm. And how do you want to live while doing
that? That's the adventure of it all, right. isn't it? Yeah. You know, that's the adventure of it all. That's the great piece of work that we're really creating is a life. We're not creating a strategy or a system in the market or a big bank account. Like we're creating a life, you know, and that's a really beautiful thing. And we need to do that in harmony with our goals and ambitions inside of markets.
I'll tell you, the biggest impact this has been in my personal life and my relationship with my wife. Cool. Ever since I met Rich, like trying to like have a better understanding of who I am and what's driving me.
Yeah.
Like that, I think just for that is worth it.
Oh.
Being able to be a better communicator and actually express the feelings and issues that I'm having in whatever moment, knowing that I'm not going to be judged for it. And
yeah.
To be able to do it in a way that's constructive and not leading to a fight.
Totally. I mean, how cool, right? Because we're not
one-dimensional
creatures. Like we have these extreme multi-dimensional, multifaceted qualities and you know, things that lead to our own happiness. That's why we're doing this. Like this is a pursuit of happiness, right? Item.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Right? Like, you know, a lot of people get hung up on the money is happiness thing. And it's like, no, it's
the money's a tool.
It's fun. I like a little bit of money. It's a good time, but it's so many things. Like you said, you know, I know a lot of people who are real well off and their relationship with their spouse or, you know, or partner just isn't great. And how worthless is that capital? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that stuff, I mean, personally, like I'd rather.
Meanwhile, I go wander around the slums in India where people have nothing but a little box to live in. And they're some of the happiest people you ever meet.
You just have to accept that that's a reality of life and it's a good thing. That's a good,
yes.
That's a good quality. So these bits of self-awareness of, you know, kind of developing who we are and creating a vision of who we are. It's just not time wasted, regardless of what happens in markets.
Yep.
We can't control market outcomes, but we can control, right, what we produce in ourselves. And that's a huge, huge thing. So,
well, I think we're probably getting to the end of our window here, but one of my biggest concerns is going to be actually finishing this work. I'm not a good finisher when it comes to projects.
Yeah.
So when we get off the camera or mic here, I want to pitch some ideas to you to maybe continue this conversation.
Sounds great. Yeah.
More long form type format. But I think we've probably taken up enough of your lunch break. It's probably more than your lunch break now at this point. I would like to say thank you to Andrew and Cleo here for joining me today, offering their insights. If you enjoyed today's conversation, you still want more, then you probably enjoy listening to the Trade Runner series with Rich Friesen or anything from the Humanity of Trading back catalog. And if you want to see more of Andrew's work, make sure you visit his website, longwintertradingco.com, where he posts a ton of free trading content. All those links are going to be in the episode description. We'll be back soon with another exciting episode. But until then, draw first blood by leaving a rating or review and have a great day.
Nice.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. produced by China Shop Productions.